Hello and welcome to the Jayco and SBS Cycling Podcast, brought to you by Jayco, your great escape.
Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour. Welcome to the Jayco and SBS Cycling Podcast. As per usual on each episode, I am with Dave McKenzie. How are you, Dave?
I'm a bit sort of shaken, not stirred. You're confused. I'm boiling hot. It's hit about 34 degrees. There's no wind, very little wind.
By the seaside?
By the seaside. I feel like I should be Spain or Italy, but guess what? I'm in the Netherlands.
Top of the Netherlands.
I'm in the northern part of Europe, and it is hot. It's been a balmy, warm day, and no complaints.
We're not complaining, but you know in Australia, we know hot. This is a hot day, even on Australian scale.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Oh, no, totally. It's been a really warm day. It was actually a beautiful morning.
Yeah.
And I thought, gee, will it actually hit the predicted top temp of 34? I haven't seen it, but I reckon it got close. No, it's been a warm day.
And I think it's one of the hottest they ever recorded in the Netherlands as well.
Yes.
Because it's up there with the temperature, the top max temperature that you get in the country.
Yeah.
And we're lucky for us, it's today very hot for the rider, very, very hot for the staff, very hot for everyone. But tell you what, someone was really cool today. Is Charlotte cool?
Oh.
That's a bit of a dad joke here.
Yeah,
but
no.
How cool was cool?
Yeah, very good. And good to see a new winner, you know. And when I say new winner, it's the opening stage. But I mean, from the first two editions, she's knocked on the door a few times. We always, you know, she was on the lips of a few experts. Charlotte Cool would definitely challenge for a stage win here. So to knock off the first one for that team as well, you know, again, it just gives you huge momentum, doesn't it, going into the rest of the week.
How did you see the stage unfold? Because there was a crash. There's been a lot of it was a nervous end of the stage. All of a sudden, actually, it became quite tense. For some reason, they took a corner, and then all of a sudden, the peloton became really tense.
Yeah. I mean, it was not surprised at all. Probably, if anything, I was surprised that it didn't maybe split.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any crosswinds. There was a bit of mixed feelings at the start from the women, you know, whether there would be crosswinds or not. Some said, look, we don't think there will be. It's too urban, the roads, the
even
courses.
Even the Dutchies were not sure.
Yeah.
We could hear Dutch riders saying 100% is going to be crosswinds, and some were like, nah, it's too urban.
Yeah.
So it was even complex for them.
Yeah, exactly.
For the locals.
No, it just didn't eventuate, and the wind just didn't blow as strong as what we thought it would. But look, it was still a great opening stage, I think. Pity about the crashes. There was a few crashes, three Aussies
as well.
So that's a pity. Let's hope they're all okay. But all in all, I thought it was an exciting stage. I thought it was a great grand départ, big long neutral section as well. Great crowds at the finish.
And that was actually beautiful in a way. The way the peloton navigated through the streets of Rotterdam as a procession to say hello and see you soon, because we are going back to Rotterdam very quickly.
Yeah.
But this whole launch of the Tour de France on a 14 kilometers procession was a good celebration of cycling in the streets of Rotterdam.
And you know, the Netherlands deserve it. They've had the men's start here at least two occasions.
Yeah,
so
we started in 1954. There's three
we know of, two in the more recent years that I've worked on. But, Dutch women's cycling have been a powerhouse for years. They've been the best in the world for many years, and they deserve to have it. And they deserve to have it early, meaning, this is the third year of the rebranding, reboot of the women's TDF. They deserve to have it this year, and I think ASO knew that. And they, in their business head, they knew it was a good decision to make as well. You're happy for people like Marianne Vos to race the Tour de France in her home country.
Mm-hmm.
She would have dearly have loved to have won the stage, but she was up there. I think she was fifth in the end, so, not a bad outing.
You mentioned three crashes for the Aussies. Just let's take a second and talk about this. Amanda Spratt, she was actually involved in one of the crashes. I saw her at the end. She actually gave me a little wink. Are you jealous?
Yeah.
she gave me a little wink. I would say again, I really love Amanda Spratt. She's absolutely brilliant with us. And even when she had a crash, the jersey was all split at the top, and she still gave me a wink because she, you know, you've got to keep smiling.
She just likes you.
You got lucky enough to speak to her.
Yeah, I did speak to her.
Something to do with the wrist. We don't know at the time we were recording the podcast.
She's hurt her wrist, and I saw when she actually crashed, she jumped straight back up, and then it, you know, your natural instinct, you're like, what have I done and what have I hurt? And she sort of shook the hand out a little bit. And then I think it was maybe the team medic sort of gave her a quick assessment. I imagine they will get it x-rayed, the wrist or the hand. I'm quietly hopeful and confident that she hasn't broken anything. Mm-hmm. I think she is as well. I didn't think she grimaced hugely when the medic pulled the glove off her hand, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's not broken. And Spratty's one of the toughest, as we know. So, but yeah, she was worst off, I suppose, of the three Aussies. But she was in good spirits, I'll say that in the interview. Grace Brown hurt her knee, so she'll be icing that tonight. She doesn't think
it was a big
serious
crash for 40 riders, I think.
Well, there was
involved.
A number of crashes. Yeah, there were a few different ones, a couple of smaller ones, but then there was a big one. Grace Brown was involved in the big one.
Yeah, 40.
And so too was Anya Lowe. Anya Lowe, though, she was fine. She seemed fine. We spoke to her as well. She said, I was pretty lucky. I was one of the last ones to crash. I sort of landed on top of them, so that cushioned the blow. And she didn't even look like she had any skin off, actually. So all in all, probably you could say, hopefully, a day the Aussies escaped with, you know.
Yeah.
And we escaped without losing an Aussie, which is good.
Do you think we dodged a bullet here?
I think so. Did you say Dutch to bullet?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, you're coming out with, what is this? What is this?
I'm going with all the...
Dutch to bullet. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
anyway.
This is what I've got to put up with, people.
Hey, look, who's coming to see us? It's Anthony McCrossan. How are you? You are the voice. That's it. We don't hear, actually, in Australia, but you're the voice of everywhere else in the world, almost, of the Tour de France.
The voice of everywhere. That's the first time I've been introduced like that. How am I? Hot. I've come out of the commentary box where it's lovely and cold and realised it's 34 degrees outside. That's a bit warm. It's as warm as the velodrome has been in the Paralympic Games for the last 7 days. That was like being in a sauna. It was absolutely incredible. So I think I've acclimatised to being outside, not indoors.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm good.
What did you make? As Christoph said, you commentate just about everywhere for the World Feed. What did you make of the opening stage? I mean, firstly, the crowds was phenomenal. We always believed it was going to be huge, but what was your take?
It was off the scale, wasn't it? We were looking outside the window of the commentary box and both saying to each other, I'm commentating with Tania Arrott, who has just come out of the World Tour Peloton, and saying, how many people are outside this window? It was amazing. And also along the route, that was pretty special. And I love it. I love it when a bike race does not go to the script that everyone's been writing for the last 3 months.
Yeah, I think we all love that, don't we,
yeah.
Charlotte Cole? I'm just annoyed because in our world famous tipping competition,
in your sweepstake, you didn't lose.
I didn't tip her. No, well, you can only one person can tip one rider. Once that rider's gone in the tipping,
then that's
you've got to pick someone else. Guess who got her?
Matt Keenan.
Yeah. Always bloody Keno.
No, always. We've got to say in this podcast, he's been rubbish.
Oh, actually, he was rubbish in the men's. He was rubbish. He was almost last.
Yeah. We had a competition in the men's and I came last.
The commentators.
Out of a team of 20.
The so-called experts with all the stats in their heads can't win the tipping comp.
No chance.
just very quickly, what is your life on the Tour de France? It also involves a lot of kilometers in a car like us, I guess. Lots of preps. Give us a bit of insight of what is your life on the Tour de France.
Yeah, pretty much that. So you drive a lot of kilometers. You spend most of your life in the back of a Skoda car. So when we got in the Skoda last night, it's Skoda, by the way, Skoda. I thought, yeah, here we go. We're back on the Tour de France.
You could have just slept in it for 2 weeks.
Absolutely, yeah. Taking it with me to Paris, that would have been good. Yeah, basically, up in the morning, we have a little run club in the ASO team. So we all meet for a run. And I tend to run 4 or 5K, and some of them madly run 10 or 11K a day. Then we go to the race start. We have a meeting. We prep for the day. Then we talk for 6.5, 7 hours. Then we get in the car. I'm with Nicholas Roach. We give him numbers of restaurants and get him to call because he speaks fluent. Well, he is French, isn't he? Yeah. He's sort of Irish French.
No, we claim you as French as well.
You claim him as French.
Claim him. Okay. We don't care.
We get him to get us a restaurant. We stop at a restaurant. We have dinner. I think we managed to avoid the motorway service station, apart from one time in the men's Tour de France. And then we get to the hotel at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Try and go to sleep because you're buzzing. Get to sleep, wake up the morning, carry on. That's
5K
it.
5K run.
That's yeah. the tour. 5K yeah. run. Yeah. Carry on. There yeah. we go.
Well, thank you for popping in anyway. It was good to have you. I know you're quite busy. But I mean, maybe one last question. What do you take of, it's the third edition of the Tour de France Femmes. We think it's a lot bigger. The compound is definitely a lot bigger. We always knew that the Netherlands was the place to be. 70 years ago, the men's first start of the Tour de France, 1954, was in the Netherlands. They're trying to repeat history a little bit here.
Yeah, they are. I do think it's bigger. I was talking to Tanya about it at breakfast this morning because she came from the Zwift Academy. So she knows the evolution of Zwift and Tour de France and all that. She was saying how many events were on last night in Rotterdam. And I was talking to ASO this morning about it because the men's Tour de France, you have all these side events. And the women's didn't have that, but it's now starting to happen. So I think this race is just getting bigger and bigger. And I think the crowds this next week are going to be crazy.
Well, I can tell you that the finish line, you know the job I do at the men's and the women's, the finish line was chaotic, like a men's finish. And the team buses reminded me of Bologna at the end of stage two, was it? And that was madness. Today was not far off it.
Like, yeah.
And I actually was running down thinking to myself, this is great. Yeah. In 3 years' time, I'll be sick of it. Yeah. But isn't it great that it's getting that next level? And let's hope it continues for the rest of the week.
Absolutely. Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks, mate.
Okay, we take a short break, and then when we come back, we talk to Grace Brand, and of course, also, we preview a very particular day on the Tour de France Femmes avec Zwift. Don't go away.
Ready to take your cycling adventures to the next level? Since 1975, Jayco has been proudly manufacturing in Australia and is the largest name in caravans, pop-tops, camper trailers, hybrids, motorhomes, and campervans. With the largest service network in Australia and unbeatable access to parts and accessories, Jayco is here for you. Cycle by day and relax by night with your fully equipped Jayco to keep you out of the elements. Jayco is built here for out there. Visit jayco.com.au to discover the range.
Get the ultimate Tour de France experience with SBS On Demand. Download the app on your preferred device or connected TV to access the Tour de France hub. Enjoy full live coverage, stage replays, extended highlights, mini stage recaps, and bite-sized stage winning moments. It's all available anytime, anywhere, and streaming for free at your home of cycling, SBS On Demand.
Right, we've an Olympic champion, Grace Brand. That sounds very well. That rolls out of the tongue.
Yeah, it's... It's like it's been my name always.
You and I, we talked about it way back when you were in the SBS studios. That was on the target of the year. Talk to us through that process. How hard has it been to claim that medal?
Yeah, I think also just, saying out loud, in the lead up to it that it was something that I was targeting and that I believed that I could win the gold medal. There's always you feel vulnerable putting that out in the open. But
you were not fooling anyone. Everyone knew you were looking at it.
Yeah, even if I said that I wasn't, I think everyone would know. But, I've been really focused on it with, a whole, wider team, and we looked at every detail that I needed to optimize to be able to win in Paris. I came in really confident. I had, no bad luck in the lead-in. Just to be on the start line with no bad luck is, you already feel like maybe you're winning. But, then once I was in the race, it just felt unbelievable.
Okay, we'll stop talking about the Olympics, but before, I just want to ask you, where's the medal?
I didn't. I thought about bringing it along, but it seemed a little bit dangerous traveling all around the Netherlands, Belgium, France, moving from hotel to hotel with my gold medal, so I left it at home.
Yeah, I've lost cheaper thing than this, you know.
Yeah, already like the day that I got it and I didn't have a box, it had some precarious situations. So
let's talk about the race right now, the Tour de France Femme. We're in Rotterdam. How quickly did you have to refocus for this race? Because there's some serious targets here as well.
Yeah, it's been hard actually to, you know, turn my mind around from the Olympics and come in and try and be mentally and physically fresh for the Tour. But yeah, I think now being here with my team and the excitement, even with the press conference here and everything, it's putting me in the zone for the Tour. So I think I'm ready.
The targets for you, where would they be? Because of course, naturally, we could think the time trial, but it's a bit of a complex day that day for the time trial as well. There's another stage before the time trial happening, and it's a bit of a weird day for that. But where would be your targets this year?
Yeah, it's hard to target the time trial exactly, especially since, even if it wasn't complicated with another stage on the day, it's quite a short time trial, which is not really my specialty. So, yeah, I think I can still do well there, but maybe the win is a little bit out of reach. So, but we'll see. I guess like the middle stages look quite good, especially if I can get into a breakaway or a situation like that. But otherwise, I don't have like a huge target for the Tour. I've decided not to take on that pressure so much after such a big goal at the Olympics. So my main aim is to be a really helpful teammate, so hopefully we can have some other nice team results. And I don't have to be the star of the show.
But yet again, it was very important for you to be at the Tour. It was, you could not miss that Tour.
Yeah, there was a moment earlier in the year where we were debating whether I would do the Tour or not, whether it was wise to come here after the Olympics. In the end, as we got closer to it, the thought of missing it, especially in my last year, just felt a bit wrong. So yeah, I'm really happy to be here because since I don't have that many race days left, like I want to soak up everyone that I can.
So actually, one last question from me. I'm still crying inside for you retiring. We still, we say with Maka, is it real? Is it not real? Has it been, just a fake news or whatever? But you've been talking a lot about it, and it's important for you. It takes some guts to win, but also retire on the back of your wins.
Yeah, it's I know that people keep hoping that I'll change my mind, but I've been thinking about it for a long time, I'm very set that this is my last year, so I'm really happy that I've had such great results in my final year, and overall just a really fulfilling career, and of course I'm going to be sad to leave the pro peloton and maybe not see like a whole lot of the people that I spend a lot of time with now again. So moving on into a different life is sad but also exciting. So
was it hard to take that decision in the end?
Yeah, the decision itself wasn't hard because I knew that that's what I wanted to do, but I think telling everyone my decision was the hardest bit because I felt that people would be disappointed and people would question my decision. But yeah, overall the decision itself came naturally.
Before that, there's still a lot of road ahead of you, including probably the World Championship, and so there's so many opportunities still to come for you.
Yeah, definitely. We've got the Tour here this week, so that's going to be really exciting. And then, World Championships is obviously another goal that I have for this year. So if I can also get a nice rainbow jersey for my collection, that would be great.
You'd be looking good in Beach Road, on Beach Road.
Yeah, I think my like trophy room at my house is going to yeah, have a bit of extra bling.
Absolutely. You're always welcome on SBS. You know this.
Yeah, thanks. I'll be there.
Welcome back to the Jayco and SBS Cycling Podcast. And let's talk about the stage happening tonight on SBS. The stage is, because we have double stage, a little bit of a funny time, actually, in the peloton. I think even the riders are not too sure about the need for that double day riding on one day.
Yeah, there's a bit of, will we say controversy? I don't know about controversy.
Questioning at least.
They all knew, everyone knew, including us, you know, months out in advance of the course route and the double stage day. So it's Dordrecht back to Rotterdam, 69.7 kilometres. That's the morning stage.
Yeah.
Pan flat, of course, it's in the Netherlands. Well, not all of the Netherlands is flat, by the way. Down south in Maastricht, it's quite hilly. But this is a flat one. 69.7 kilometres, another sprint stage. Obviously, will it be a reduced peloton? I'm not sure. I thought stage one was going to be reduced. That didn't really happen. So I expect this one to be super quick.
Mm-hmm.
They won't mess around in 69 kilometres. So that'll be less than a two-hour day, than a two-hour stage.
Yeah, and then a bit of a rest. And then we've got what? We've got a time trial, a short one as well.
It certainly is, very short indeed. And to the tune of 6.3 kilometres, Rotterdam. So they're getting their money's worth, aren't they?
Yeah.
Rotterdam, they got the start there.
Do you think that's the point of it?
Yeah, so that answers your question. Well, I think that answers part of it. The fact that, you know, they probably did a contract with ASO where they said, we want the majority of the days. And we want the start, we want the grand départ, and we want two more stage finishes. So 6.3, they've probably tried to make it as convenient logistically, operationally as possible for everyone involved. That means the teams, the riders, us, and of course their own staff, ASO. So I think it'll run smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about the athletes having to saddle back up in but the afternoon tomorrow for 6.3.
Tomorrow you're an athlete, you wake up, you go, my first part of the day will be super fast and aggressive 69 kilometers race. I gotta have to recover of this somehow. And then I've got an effort of about 8 minutes?
Yeah, it is. It's true. The winner will do it in 8 or 9 minutes. But the reality of that is, yes, it's only 6.3 kilometres, but you will start prepping at least an hour before, meaning you'll get on the rollers, you'll start warming up. The riders who have serious ambition to get, you know, a stage result, or GC riders, their preparation will be by the minute. The second stage, the 69 kilometre stage, everything will be mapped out for them. So it'll be all hands on deck in terms of team personnel. So it'd be actually really good to be a fly on the wall, or even have a time lapse of a team and just see how they sort of manage their riders through that. So
I actually hope some teams will do that, because
it'd be great.
It's unheard of in modern time, even on the men's. So
So
it's a very special day.
It doesn't happen often anymore. And there was talk that it still happens in the women's. Yes, it does, but it doesn't happen often even in the women's anymore. So which is a good thing. So. But look, I think it's a one-off. I don't think ASO will make a habit of this. So I think let's embrace it and let's enjoy it, all of us. And, you know, it's double the workload for us as well. Just as a side note.
Well, you can say two halves.
Yeah, two halves, As a side note, I will tell you, and I did a tour in Australia once called the Golden West Tour, right up northern Queensland, four stages in one day.
Wow.
Four. Criterium, road stage, time trial, criterium.
There's a song in this. Four stages in one day. No, that's my bike singing. Okay, if it's a time trial, we have an Olympic champion.
We do.
And I spoke to her. It's not necessarily a route for her. It's just a bit too short for her.
Yeah, I think it's too short. Look, she's got pretty amazing power, though. So I think she's going to produce a good time, I think.
But that might not be the first stage win for Australia necessarily.
You say a good point. We're searching for it, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we're hoping it comes this year in the women's. I think she'll give it a shake. I think she'll give it a real shake. It's going to be tight. I don't know. The jury's out for me.
Yeah.
Who it'll suit. And at the end of the day, it's a 9-minute effort. And I think Grace's 9-minute effort against anyone else in the world tour is stacks up.
Yeah.
So realistically, you know, you can actually say, well, actually, on her best day, mm-hmm. she will be quicker than anyone.
And you know what? You know the good news? If you're in Australia, it's double stage day, but it starts at, what, 5 o'clock if you're in Melbourne?
Oh, get your snacks right. Something like this. Get your snacks right.
Hello.
Get the, and you know what you can do here? You can go full European mode, people, if you're listening.
You need to be strategic with feeding.
Yes. So firstly, you do tapas. Yeah. For 5 o'clock, you do your tapas, maybe a sangria, you know, tapas, not too much, not too strong. You don't want to fall asleep. That's good. Get through that period, tapas only. Take a break, like the athletes. Take a break. Start cooking dinner an hour later, a slow cook.
Then you're ready.
Like that. Then you get ready for the and have dinner sort of ready, cooked about halfway through the stage.
Yeah, there absolutely. Yeah. Sounds like a plan, Micah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Jayco and SBS Cycling Podcast, brought to you by Jayco, your great escape.